What if a company offered a 30-year warranty on a grid-scale battery system with a 15,000 cycle life? That's not a hypothetical. This week, Chinese battery giant CATL launched exactly that, not in China, but in Germany. The energy storage landscape is changing faster than ever, and the competitive implications for Western firms are enormous. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking three critical shifts. First, the stunningly fast commercialization of sodium-ion batteries, with China making aggressive inroads into Europe and the EV market. Second, we'll look at fundamental breakthroughs in battery manufacturing that could completely change the cost structure for new gigafactories. And finally, we'll analyze how the U.S. grid itself is being transformed by virtual power plants and a new class of long-duration storage. Troy, let's start with sodium ion. This technology seems to have gone from a lab concept to a commercial threat almost overnight.
It has. And the scale of deployment is what's changing the conversation this week. To be clear, sodium ion batteries use abundant and inexpensive sodium instead of lithium. They generally have a slightly lower energy density than lithium iron phosphate, or LFP, but offer better performance in extreme cold and a much more stable supply chain.
And Chinese companies are moving aggressively. What are the key developments?
There are three that paint a very clear picture. First, CATL officially launched its Tenor sodium ion grid storage system in Germany. This is being billed as the world's first commercially verified system of its kind, and the specs are designed to command attention. A 15,000 cycle life and an unprecedented 30-year warranty.
A 30-year warranty is a massive vote of confidence. That must be sending shockwaves through the European energy storage market.
It's a direct challenge. It tells European utilities and project developers that this is a mature, bankable technology. CATL is backing this with a 5 billion RMB investment to add 40 gigawatt hours of annual sodium ion capacity. This isn't a pilot project. It's a full-scale market entry.
So they're targeting Europe's grid. What about other sectors?
They're moving on all fronts. In a partnership with SolarPro, CATL is now planning Eastern Europe's first 2 gigawatt hour sodium ion project. And perhaps most significantly, CATL and automaker Changan just unveiled the Nevo AO6, the world's first mass-produced sodium-ion electric vehicle. It has a 400-kilometer range and retains 93% of its capacity at minus 30 degrees Celsius.
That directly addresses the cold weather performance issue that plagues many EVs. So what does this multi-pronged attack mean for U.S. and European manufacturers?
For European manufacturers of grid-scale battery systems, this is an immediate pricing and technology threat. CATL isn't just selling cells. They're delivering a fully warranted system solution into a key market. U.S. auto manufacturers now face a new competitor in the affordable EV segment, with a technology that sidesteps lithium supply chain volatility.
So what should Western executives be doing? It sounds like they're on the back foot.
They need to act decisively. Manufacturing executives should be urgently evaluating sodium ion as a core part of their own stationary storage portfolio. It's no longer an emerging tech. For Western trading companies, this means identifying and building relationships with the key players in the sodium ion supply chain, which right now is heavily concentrated in China. It's about securing supply or being locked out.
Let's move from the battery chemistry to the factory floor. A new manufacturing technique is gaining serious traction, one that could fundamentally lower the cost of every battery. Troy, tell us about dry electrode manufacturing.
This is a genuine process revolution. Traditionally, battery electrodes are made by mixing active materials into a solvent-based slurry, coating it onto foil, and then baking it in massive, energy-intensive ovens to evaporate the solvent. The dry electrode process, as the name implies, eliminates the solvent and the ovens entirely.
And this is the process Tesla is reportedly adopting for its 4680 cells. How significant is removing that one step?
It's transformative. It dramatically reduces the factory's energy consumption, physical footprint, and capital cost. Production lines can run faster. This means any company building a new gigafactory using the conventional wet process is building in a structural cost disadvantage from day one.
So for U.S. and European firms racing to build domestic battery capacity, this is a critical technology to master.
Exactly. This is a direct threat to the competitiveness of nascent Western gigafactories.
If they don't integrate this technology, they risk being uncompetitive on cost before they even produce their first sale. Simultaneously, we're seeing lab-level breakthroughs that promise the next leap in performance. A new study on localized high-concentration electrolytes, or LHCEs, showed an 8% improvement in the lifespan of high-energy silicon anodes over 200 days.
Silicon anodes being the technology that could dramatically increase EV range. So we have one innovation cutting costs today and another promising more performance tomorrow. What's the actionable insight here?
For manufacturing executives in the US and Europe, the directive is clear. Your engineering teams must have an active program to evaluate and pilot dry electrode manufacturing. It's an existential issue for new plants. For trading companies and distributors, this shift creates a whole new market for the specialized binders, powders, and calendaring equipment required for the dry process. And for strategists, the silicon anode progress is a reminder that the R&D race is far from over. Securing partnerships with research institutions working on these next-gen components is vital.
Let's zoom out to the entire energy system. We're seeing a profound shift in the U.S., where the grid is becoming more decentralized and intelligent, thanks to virtual power plants.
That's right. A virtual power plant, or VPP, isn't a physical building. It's a network of distributed energy resources, like home solar panels, residential batteries, and even electric vehicles, that are aggregated and controlled by sophisticated software to act as a single unified power source.
And this is now happening at a massive scale.
At a gigawatt scale. A new analysis highlighted a national 16-gigawatt VPP project, spearheaded by a partnership including Tesla and Sunrun. To put that in perspective, that's the equivalent of a dozen large nuclear reactors. At the same time, a tech giant, Google, has committed to funding 100 megawatts of new VPP capacity every year. This is moving from niche pilots to a core piece of U.S. grid infrastructure.
What does this mean for manufacturers and trading companies? It sounds like a whole new market is being created.
It is. This decentralization is a direct competitive threat to the business model of building new natural gas peaker plants. For U.S. and European manufacturers, it creates a booming market for VPP-enabled devices, smart thermostats, bidirectional EV chargers, and home battery systems. The software platforms that manage these networks are also a huge opportunity.
VPPs seem ideal for managing minute-to-minute fluctuations, but what about when the sun doesn't shine for 3 days? We're also seeing major moves in long-duration storage.
This is the other crucial piece of the puzzle. Form Energy just began construction on its factory expansion in West Virginia to produce iron air batteries. This is a completely different chemistry designed for 100-plus hours of continuous discharge.
100 hours? That's a different class of storage entirely. What's driving the demand?
A major driver is the explosive growth of AI. Google is already deploying Form Energy's technology to provide clean, reliable, multi-day power for its data centers. Form Energy is also partnering on a massive 1,000 megawatt-hour project in Ireland. This isn't just about renewables. It's about providing industrial-scale reliability.
So, what's the actionable advice for executives watching this grid transformation?
Every industrial and technology executive needs to have a VPP strategy. Are you producing hardware that can participate in these networks? Are you partnering with the software aggregators? For manufacturers and trading companies, the rise of long-duration storage like iron air opens up entirely new supply chains for abundant materials like iron, moving beyond the intense competition over lithium and cobalt. This is a new, high-volume market that Western industrial firms are well-positioned to supply.
Troy, an incredible amount of change in 1 week. Let's distill it down. What are your three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, sodium-ion battery technology is commercially mature, and China is using it as a spear tip to enter Western markets. The launch of CATL's 30-year warranted system in Germany is a clear signal. U.S. and European firms must accelerate their own sodium-ion strategies for stationary storage, or risk being designed out of major projects.
Second,
the manufacturing process itself is the new competitive battleground. Dry electrode manufacturing offers a step change reduction in cost and factory footprint. Any board planning a new gigafactory in the West must ensure this technology is central to their plan, or they will be building a factory that is obsolete on arrival.
And your final takeaway?
The grid is being fundamentally re-architected. VPPs are scaling to a level that displaces traditional power plants, creating a new ecosystem for smart hardware and software. At the same time, long-duration iron air storage is creating a parallel massive market for industrial-scale reliability, driven by the demands of AI. Western companies must decide where they will play in these two new arenas, as a component supplier, an equipment manufacturer, or a software and integration partner. The opportunities are immense, but so is the cost of inaction.
Troy, thank you. The message is clear. The pace of innovation in energy technology is creating powerful new competitive threats, but also defining entirely new markets for those ready to act. From the battery cell to the continental grid, the landscape is being redrawn. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. To make sure you never miss an update, please subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence on your podcast platform of choice. We'll be back next week with more analysis of the developments shaping your industry.